Have you ever wondered, is there more to the Word of God than just words on the page? Join us for an in-depth journey into the truth of God by means of open Socratic conversation. In Proverbs chapter 2, the Word of God says, "If you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Welcome to Hidden Treasures Revealed. Good evening to all. It is Tuesday evening, March the 26th. Hidden Treasures Revealed is on the air. My name is Sean, and I have my brother Sergio back on with me. He's been on a few times, and we'll see where y'all wants us to go with the conversation and the things that they give us. Sergio, how are you doing there?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. Yourself?
I had a good day. Each day is an opportunity to walk in God's ways. And I'll actually share a thought that I had as I was driving over. And we were actually, I think you had brought this up. We were, I think it was last, Sunday night is the last time we were together. And we had said that at times y'all will give us little nuggets of things, like though, not that, just putting it to some, we would say like a nugget, like a little small piece. Mm-hmm. And do you remember, this was back, I don't know how many years ago it was, and I was actually opening up one of my desk drawers today at work, and I pulled the drawer back, and I had like an envelope in there, and I looked in there, and I was like, is that what I think it is? And what did I pull out? It was a key that had like a little plastic wristband that you could put on. And Yah had given this to us years ago, and it was a literal, looked like a house key. And on one side it was taped trust, and on the other side it was taped obey. And the point of it was, this is the key. And I was, as I was just coming over here, it came to mind, I thought, wow, there are many keys in faith that God will give us. And I just had this thought sitting here that, have you ever heard of a building that'll have the master key?
Mm-hmm.
That most of the time the management, the owner will have a master key, meaning they'll have access to all areas of the building, whatever it would be. And it made me think of, if you were to put that to, yes, there's keys to faith. And Messiah even mentioned there's keys to the kingdom. But with what we talked about recently, think about that. The key that opens up all the doors. Trust, which another word for trust is faith. Trust and obey. If you were to look at the essence of the Old Testament, the scriptures, the New Testament, talking about Yeshua on earth, his ministry, Paul, Peter, James, John, other disciples, that you put it back to, you want to bring it back to what was the essence of what they were doing. That if they didn't have faith in God, if they didn't trust, and they didn't obey, what do you have? And yes, you can break it down into, why was the law given? Why did people do what they do? Why does Yah do what they do? But if you look at it even back to the beginning, even think about back to the Garden of Eden, the very beginning, if they would have trusted God and not eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, this wouldn't have happened. So it goes, just thinking back, like if somebody, because I've had this many years ago, somebody that came to a Wednesday night, or actually I think it was before that, me and Phil were meeting with a lady. And I remember she was real combative, and she would say, just give it to me. Just, you know, get away from all the rigmarole. Just give it to me. What's this all about? And if somebody were to put me to an answer, a good answer is trust and obey. Well, expound upon that. Well, we can. But what I'm finding interesting is the more that Yah gives and the more understanding that I gain, that is what helps to simplify because you can simplify it to trust and obey. But look at all the detail that's buried in trust and obey, all the details, all the things that you do. And what Yah had brought to your mind to bring out, think about what is the key to what you're going to be talking about. What is the key to continuing in that? Like there's like a key, like an important point. But if you were to take it back to Noah, why was Noah a preacher of righteousness? Because he had faith in God and he obeyed God. Yes, there's more to it. But the essence of you want to be pleasing to God, the word says without faith, which another word for faith is trust, it's like you were saying, it's impossible to please God. Now, you can do things that God says to do, but to please them, no, trust in us. And that's to propel you to do the things that we're asking you to do. Let the motive be faith, not works, because works are a part of faith. But what happens is that if you try to attempt it by works, it's not faith. But faith has works. So it's putting it in that order. And I just thought about it. You think about it, you take a key that you're a little bit younger than me, that when I was younger, my dad had a 1960s, like an old GMC truck, had the, what they call the flare side, had the panel sticking out and wood floor in the back. And we would put the key in this. And I've not seen any cars that do this other than this. You would put the key in and you turn it, and you could actually pull the key out and it would stay on. Like the whatever the device was, it just, you could take the key and put it in and out and it would stay running. Think about what would happen with today's cars. If you tried to pull the key out while you were driving, it may not even one let you do it, but it would be catastrophic, because as I was just driving down the hill from my house, I was like, without this key, this car's not going anywhere. It doesn't matter if you have the engine, you've got the unibody structure, you have everything ready to go. You don't have the key to start the whole thing. You're not going anywhere, and you can kick the car, you can put it in neutral, you can let it roll down a hill and it'll crash. But if you want to drive it and you want it to move forward or backward or whatever, have to have the right key, and the key has to be cut for that specific car. Because I have a Honda and you can't take my key to another Accord. It won't fit. It won't do anything. You won't even get it to go in. So I was just thinking about that the beauty of God, that the simplicity of the message preached, it sets apart the ones that are foolish versus the contrite, that Yah made it so simple in being able to understand. By carrying it out is another issue, because to carry it out, it takes diligence, it takes grit, it takes work, but it confounds people that are supposedly learned or intellectual of the simplicity of faith. So you're saying all you have to do, as for example, all you have to do is just trust and obey? It can't be that simple. As complex as this God is, how could it be that simple? But to the wise, it is simple, but it's a challenge. But to people that don't have faith in God, to them it's going to be foolishness, as the word said. So, I'll let you speak what's on your mind. But I was just, as we were coming over, I was like, wow, sometimes you'll have a simple concept come that has so much detail in it. But with the help of Yah, that even going back to the beginning, did I even understand or fathom the key that Abba gave us, was saying is that, yes, there's detail. Yes, there's work, there's intricacies, but make sure you're not missing the fact of you want to be pleasing to us. It's not by the things you do. It's not by your background. It's not by, well, look at what I did. Yeah, I did all these good things. No. Do you believe I exist? Are you willing to diligently seek me and accept that I exist? Then there'll be a reward for you, which is you'll be given evidence of our existence, and you'll find the knowledge of God. Just the simplicity, I just remember a scripture, like by the simplicity of the message preached, that people are confounded, to where it pleased God that it confounds and frustrates people, because you have to have faith, even as small as a mustard seed, to be able to understand the things of God. So I'll turn it over to you, but I was just to start out, was on my mind that what a huge key this is, because there's many keys to the faith. So I'll get your thoughts, see what's on your mind.
When you were talking about the aspect of the key, the biggest thing that came to my mind in regards to that is that every key is cut differently. So not every key is the same, and no key is like, and I just tie that back to everybody's, you know, faith walk, that your faith walk is not going to look the same as mine. It's not going to be the same as mine, as in, but the steps are the same. There's no deviations from the steps of faith. You have to walk each step in the faith walk accordingly, according to Yah, to fulfill every, you got to fulfill every stipulation. So I take it, no, we talked about this before in regards to like having certain keys that go to certain doors. And I remember that every little step in the faith walk pertain that to each cut in the key, where you're at. So in order to get through that door, every step, every stipulation or every cut of that key has to be made precisely in order for you to get through to the door to the next step of the faith walk. And then I can remember that, or what came across was the aspect of a, going back to like the car, like you, your ignition lock, your ignition switch that you insert your key in, is only for that car. The key can only work to that car. So the aspect that if your ignition switch goes bad, you have to replace that ignition switch and get a new key. And so that way that ignition switch, that the new one has the new key cut exactly for that ignition switch, so your car turns on. And then I recently looked up, because I work at a parts store. So a customer came in and was looking for a lock, just the lock cylinder, not the entire lock ignition switch. So he was looking for just the lock cylinder that mainly goes where the key goes into. But his certain car, you had to take out the old lock cylinder, put the new lock cylinder in, and reprogram the key with the lock cylinder, which you need a whole computer system for that, of course. But that was the only way he could get a new ignition switch and new key. He had to reprogram it. And that just ties to faith, that just in itself, the aspect of everything that you've done in life, you've programmed yourself. Or it was programmed within you. So the aspect that when you come to the point of your ignition switch being broken in itself, that whole thing has to come out and walk in that to where Yah would give you a new key, ignition lock cylinder's key to reprogram, which it would be an aspect of circumcision on the heart, something that I haven't yet to experience, but am walking that way. But that's what came to mind with that in itself, just in so that aspect that your key has to be complete in order to walk through that next door of faith.
And you can answer this with the work that you do. Do you, when I was younger, and I haven't had this done in quite a while, do they still, for example, can you still go to a hardware store or an improvement place and actually get keys cut? Like, do they still have a key machine, like doors, like for, let's say, a house, you go to your house, house door, storm doors, do they actually still cut those keys like that? Can you still get those made?
They're not like made by like before where people actually cut the key for you. Now a computer does it. So they just slide it into this big, huge computer contraption, and the key etches a copy of the original key. And then you put in the generic, not cut, uncut key. And then pretty much it does it for you, computerized.
Well, just going on what you were saying, I had this thought that by you walking and trusting God and you doing to the best of your ability what Yah wants, and I'll give an example. You start out by seeking with all your heart in this faith journey. Well, you're not where you're in faith yet, but you're starting the journey of getting to faith. You have to believe that God exists. You have to accept the fact that God exists, and I'm going to go after this. By you doing that, and you start that process of, I'm going to seek God with all my heart. They exist. I don't understand it all. I don't really know very much at all, but I know that God exists, and I'm going to seek after this, and I'm never going to stop. Well, you start doing that, and you start searching for God. Well, when you start doing that, as the word says, that you draw near to God and they'll draw near to you. So the way that we go after God, Yah will pursue us. And it made me think that as you go on that journey, the Yah starts etching out that key so that you go into the word and you start looking into things and, oh, well, I didn't realize that. Well, I'm going to do that. And then Yah just, I could see like a template for a key, and they'll go in like, okay, well, we'll put in that little marker there, and we'll put in there, we'll put this in there. And then as you were talking about that, Yah gave you the concept of brokenness. Okay. When you have that break and Yah sees that, then I'm just saying it's like they're putting those etches in and say, now here's the key to repent. If those teeth on that key don't line up the way that the word of God says, if you don't have brokenness, if it's just a pretend, it won't work. And you could look at it and you could say, well, it's lined up. It looks exactly the same. But you put it into that lock, whatever step it is, and it doesn't meet the requirements of the gospel, the Yah's word, it'll just be like I have two Hondas at home, two different keys, and I've mistaken the two. I've taken one for the pilot and attempted to put it in the Accord, and it won't. It just goes in, but it won't do anything. No, it's not made for that. Well, yeah, I repented because I felt sorry for my sins. Key's not going to fit. You've cut the key based on what your understanding is, that you've gotten what you think is a key, and you may try to jam it in, and it's going to mess up the inside of the lock cylinder. Plus, the fact is, it's not going to turn. But when you get it lined up exactly like it's supposed to be, it'll go right in, and it'll turn. I think of the old Price is Right. They'd have the different things. You'd spin the dial for the numbers, and you don't have the right number. You spin it, and made a sound. But when you got it all lined up, the key will go in. And with any kind of key that Yah has, you've got to fulfill the stipulations in order for it to work. Yah is not going to change the key and cut it a different way for you to make it easier. No. If you do exactly what the word says, you will get the promises that are there. Yah is not, they are unchanging, which means the things that they have set, they don't change. You put the key in. If you do it the way the word says, and I'll give you an example. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Well, yeah, I've done all that. Well, but if you don't go exactly in that order, you could have it all there, but you don't turn from your wicked ways. Well, I did humble myself. And I did, yeah, but you didn't meet the stipulation. Then I will hear from heaven. So, for example, if your land isn't being healed, if you're not seeing different things going or changing, it's not Yah. It's, let's go back and evaluate myself and make sure that I'm doing what's right and I'm following the way of God. And then because Yah will fulfill their promise when the stipulations are fulfilled, that if I do my part, the key will work. But a lot of times we'll waste time trying to get the key to fit and getting frustrated and, you know, saying this, you know, stupid key, it doesn't work. And it's no, as long as you have the right key, because if you have the right key, it shouldn't be any problem just to put it right in and turn it and open the door or start the car. It's made to fit exactly in there the way it's supposed to go, and it's supposed to fit in there exactly right. And it's just making me think of where the issue, if something isn't working, stop or don't even attempt. But if you're doing it, stop blaming God and making excuses, because it is not God's fault. It's our fault if we don't have the right keys.
And I can talk on that because I did that for years, and, you know, just in I would say within like probably months ago that I figured, you know, I just came to realize it's not no one else. It's me. I'm the issue. I'm the problem. So what? And then having to go to Abba and talk to Abba. And see, yeah, you know, what am I missing? What am I not getting? Because I know that I'm here. I know this is where I'm at, but I'm hitting a wall every time. What am I not seeing? What am I not getting? And then a couple of weeks ago or so, we were just having a prayer time, and I hear you crying, you know, you're praying to Abba and Nima and Yusha, and I'm just over by myself and crying out to Abba, and I don't know if you heard me or anything, but to me I'm just crying out to Abba, and just Abba, I'm not getting it. Please, you know, help me, because I can't do this myself. I don't understand what I'm missing. And then I heard Abba through you clearly, and it was told that I needed to evaluate the aspect of resentment. And just taking that time and going through that prayer time and actually seeing that, and then seeing where there was an underlying issue of resentment towards Abba that happened a long time ago in my childhood, and seeing that was the cause of me building a, from childhood to even now, not even now, but till then, at that moment, to where I was holding that against Abba, and yet again towards family members, and towards even my spouse, towards it just bled into everywhere, towards those of the gathering that in itself, that I didn't see that. And when I got a chance for Abba to show it to me, then I was like, wow, I did not see that it had that much of a detriment on everyone around me, and of course towards everything that I've harbored towards Abba. And then yet again, not making a haste decision to try to change it all at once, but I recognized it, I embraced it, and then I settled it within myself towards Abba, towards those that of everyone that it affected, that I didn't see that it was affecting. And yet again, I know within my own self that issue is settled, that I know that I'm no longer having those feelings. I'm not having resentment towards anyone, because yet again, going back to it, I'm the issue. No one else is the issue.
Let me ask you this. Would you say that you no longer have resentment towards anyone? Or would you say that in your conscious mind that you've said it, that you're not going to have resentment towards anyone?
In my conscious mind, I'm not having resentment towards anyone.
And the reason I just bring that to your attention, because I've said this before, you say, well, I'm done with that, or like I've learned that. You may have set your mind that with something that you've seen, that you're not going to have resentment, but I would challenge you to look into the areas where you have subconscious resentment. And even with circumcision of heart, there's still things that are in the lower conscience that even for me, that I'd bring you some things to my attention about subconscious depression that I have, and having moments of being depressed as well, and evaluating that. So it's good when you see something like that that comes to your mind. But let me ask you this, because as we started, before we started the podcast, you had said that I had given you the topic or for where we could have some discussion about tonight. And if you would share with the people listening that the aspect of the topic that Yah brought to you, what is that, and how did it come to you? Like, how is it speaking to you?
So the topic that was given to me by Yah to just have an open discussion about it was brokenness. The way that it came about was on Sunday, we were talking about faith in deeds, and in itself, just the aspect that has to do with, that in faith, there are works to be done, but not the aspect of that you gain anything from it. And what came to mind for me in regards to it is that I've looked at it from the aspect, or subconsciously didn't recognize it because it was subconscious, of doing the deeds for faith rather than faith for the deeds. I had it reversed, and then that made more sense of the aspect that I had talked to Phil after we had got done, and I was like, I told him the last few months that I even talked to you about it, of that I feel like every time I'm taking 3 steps forward, but then get slammed six steps back, and that I feel to that certain degree of that I'm hitting that wall, but the more I try to break through that wall, the more that I get hammered. And it tied also to the aspect of the law, of the more that I'm desire to uphold the law or try to walk in that, the more I feel like I'm getting slammed to the floor. And that's something that also came up, was that just because of that over and over again, that I've been crying out to Yah, and again going to the aspect of, I didn't realize that also built up subconscious depression in myself, that like I can't get ahead. I can't push through to the next step, even though I'm trying everything to step forward and push through that wall. And I'm just dead to that wall. Like, I'm to the point where, where scripture, remember you, the scripture of that, It's the scripture where it says you have not shed blood to the point or resisted sin to the point of shedding blood. Have you ever, I don't know if you've ever done something to the point of where you've caused yourself to bleed. But that's how I feel inside, that I'm to the point where I feel like I'm internally bleeding, and I'm in itself the aspect of crying out to Abba that, you know, constantly, yeah, I need your help because I can't do this myself. I've been trying to do it myself, and I realize that, but I'm crying out to you because I realize that I can't do it by myself. And the reason I cry out to Abba is because I know that's who I gotta cry out to. That's who I have to just let everything that I know that I feel, whether it's consciously or subconscious or in my subconscious, that I know that Abba's the one I need to go to. So those are and there's other underlying issues, whether it's, yet again, it's with myself, things that I allowed myself to go into my subconscious that gets revealed. And when it gets revealed by Abba, I'm like, oh wow, I didn't see that. Wow, I didn't know that I was doing that. Okay, well, I can feel the emotion of it. But I know we were told in the gathering, a lesson that came out in the emotion of it, don't make your decision, because then your decision won't stick. So I internalize it. When that comes, I internalize it, I recognize it, I embrace it. And then as I evaluate it through the next few days, then I'll make, okay, I've evaluated this, and now I'm making my decision that I'm no longer going to do that thing. I'm turning my back to that because I know that's not pleasing to Abba. So those are just, that's literally how it came about in regards to the topic. But that's just something that I've been just dealing with for the last couple months, is just the constant, okay, I'm moving. I know I can see myself moving these steps, but then I'm getting, and when I see it, and then I get hammered down. And I don't know if that's the aspect of just being humbled before Yah, that I'm humbling myself, but there are things that Yah will point and give to me that showed me, and then I just, that I feel like a small little grain of sand before Abba, to where I see that I'm nothing before Abba. Those are just different things that came to mind in regards to the topic of what I've been dealing with for the last few months. Am I going to quit? No, I'm not going to quit, but just to move forward. And that's pretty much.
One important aspect of walking in the faith journey, and I'm going to go back to something that you had brought out, that we're not saying that in faith that there's no works that you mm-hmm. do. It's where you place the works, because it's what is the basis, what is the foundation or the core of what you're doing. If you're going at it from an aspect of, if I do these works, then I'll get favor from God, that's under the law, that I'm doing these things so that I can be right with God. I'm doing these things so I can be righteous. That's an under the law perspective, and that's a weighty place to be. Faith involves works, meaning, in the word says, without faith, well, let me go back, that faith by itself without works is dead. So if you say trust, in order to show that you have trust, there has to be works, meaning that if if I put my trust in somebody, then that means that I'm going to do what they say because I trust them. Well, that's the thing. You're going to do what they say. And I've noticed that you said a few times that you were trying. And faith is about doing, meaning that instead of, you know, I've been trying to do this. No, I'm going to do this, no matter if I hit the wall 100 times. And that's the thing, that you've got that rock on your heart, which is a sin nature, and you've just got to keep beating and pleading and scratching and clawing until ultimately that rock is removed and you can come out of the tomb. Yah's going to look at you and say, how serious are you about crying out to me? Are you going to just cry out and be like, yeah, I'm just crying out? And I'll take you back to, do you remember this? We were over at Josh's, that there was a vision of when you were standing in the corner and there was that screaming of no, about at the top of your lungs, that, you know, are you going to do this? No. That giving mm-hmm. you a picture of resentment as a child, that it's not about what we say, it's what we do. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't say things, but, and I've done this too, when we cry out and say, well, I've cried out to God and I've pleaded with them for help, and I've done the same thing. Do you remember? And it was here recently when we had a prayer time. Do you remember what help that Yah gave to you in regards to this? I don't know if you remember or not.
I do.
And what did they tell you?
They told me in regards to when others of the gathering speak, to listen intently to what they're saying so that whatever is coming out through them, turn it to myself and see where it is within myself in regards to whatever the topic is or whatever they're dealing with, so that if I can see it in myself, then I can take it with Yah and deal with it with Yah in regards to whatever the issue is, or in regards to relatability to what that was coming out to through ever in the gathering was at the time to speaking.
Right. And the thing, just as a help for you, is with that, because think about it, and I can speak to this because I have heart knowledge of this. You ask Yah for help, and it's not necessarily that you consciously think it subconsciously that, well, I'm just waiting for God's help, that they'll make it clear. But what Yah wants you and everybody else to do is they want you to discover brokenness, because you cannot make a break. And I'll explain what I mean. Man, I want to be broken. I need to be broken. And I'm just going to be looking for that break. When do you really know a break? And I'll explain, like when we're saying the aspect of brokenness, a part of the faith journey is when you recognize who you are before God, realize that God is perfect and that you are imperfect. And this is something that I'm going to speak about this, but it's something you've got to discover. You can't just listen to this and say, yeah, that's it. That you break. And when I mean break, I don't mean a crack. I mean, if you take a vase or a jar and you break it, that it's beyond repair, meaning that it has to be put back together. It's smashed, it's broken into, that it's beyond repair, meaning the break has to come internally. I can attempt to influence you, encourage you, but I can't motivate you or anybody else to do anything. So don't attempt to break. A break is something that comes that as you evaluate and you ask Yah for help, you discover an issue. And the point of that is to break you within. And when you're broken within, now the light of God can come in and bring healing. But when you break, it's got to be a full break of recognition, and you have to then from that break repent. Meaning you turn from what you see and you go into another direction. But the only way to have that break is you break, have godly sorrow, which brings the repentance. So when you're evaluating things and you ask God for help, look for thoughts that come to mind. And like it was told to you, that listen to other people and their circumstances, and then you may, oh, well, that's me. Oh my gosh, I am not doing that anymore. And you could have a flood of emotion. You could have just like a stunned, oh my gosh. Just think about it. Like if you just broke something that was of value, or you broke a bone, and you would just be like, something isn't right. This needs to be made better. What must I do? Like they were cut to the heart. They had the break. What must we do to be saved? Well, you do this. That once you discover the break, you can be looking for walking in a life of brokenness, which is a life of contrition, which referred to in the word as the contrite ones, the ones that are humble, that because of that godly sorrow, you turn to God and repent, and you turn to God 360, full circle. Then you start walking in the ways of God. You don't necessarily understand everything. You're not going to. But repentance doesn't mean you understand everything. It means you're willing to walk in the ways of God. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You are God. You are perfect. You are flawless. All your ways are fair and just. I'm walking in your ways. Show me what I'm not seeing. And they bring something to your attention, faith. Oh, I trust you. I'm going to do this. I don't understand, but I'm going to do it. And I thought about Messiah, Yeshua himself, in Revelation, talking to the one of the churches who was Laodicea. You think that you're rich and you don't need a thing, but you don't realize you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, naked. To show you that, look for that break of, don't ever, ever forget. You have circumcision in the heart, don't ever forget the grace that's been given to you, the fact that you carry your righteousness is because of Messiah, that who you were, wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked, so that you can remember and walk in that humility. Walk in that contrition, because that's the thing. You can't contrive brokenness. It's one of those things where the old saying, the proof is in the pudding, that we will see, or other people's will see. And I'm crying, and I'm just not saying that you can have that, but it'll be able to be seen if you're looking for it. And I'm not saying that you wouldn't have an emotion attached to it. But if it's a true break, then a change of behavior is going to come. Because if it isn't, and it's just like, for example, if you come to something and you're in an emotional state, like you're like really upset, be careful to evaluate. Let that drive you, but be careful with that, because we don't want to be making decisions in an emotional state. We want to make it in a rational state, to where, not that we don't have emotion or the emotion couldn't drive us to a decision. Mm-hmm. But the aspect of brokenness is, I just remember a song that we listened to that said, when you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. That you've got to have that break, that contrition of that godly sorrow of just realizing who you are before God, and that you're going to change your conduct. And not that you're going to change it right away, but in your mind that, I'm not doing that anymore, I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. And you turn to God, and you turn away from the worldly things, the things that are not of God. And it's just a process to go on, but it's something that, don't focus on, well, I got to be broken. Focus on seeking God with all your heart and crying out to God, God, show me what I'm not seeing, and I will look for it. show me as I look. Because if you just say, God, show me, and well, God will show me, God will say, okay, well, you do your part. I'll show you when you look diligently. Because the word says, and we had said it earlier, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That those who come to God must believe that they exist and are the rewarder of those who diligently seek them. So focus on the diligent seeking and the brokenness will come. But if you're, well, I'm going to God so that I got a break. Well, be careful that you're not, well, I have to. Well, you do have to, but are you seeking it by faith or, well, this work, because the word says I've got a break and you're looking for a break and you're hitting your head against the wall and you're getting thrown back because just do what the word says. Seek God with all your heart. Cry out for insight. Call out for understanding. You know, it's been so many years. I'm tired of this. What is holding me back? What is it? And not be satisfied with it and really look for it and dig and be listened diligently. Because even with this podcast or other times that we've had, it could be because I found myself that here recently, Yah is giving information more through others and what they say than directly to me. And what is teaching me is you've had some time where you're just waiting for me to give it to you. But I'm going to show you that be listening. Listen to what your wife says. Even today I got something from my wife, Crystal, that, wow, okay, I didn't realize. Yep, that's true. Or Phil will say something, and you may say something, somebody in the gathering, and I'm just, because sometimes what will happen is somebody will be getting some counseling. Like we'll focus on you, for example, on an issue, or Josh or somebody else. And what I used to do is, well, this isn't really me because it's for them. I'm like, no, no, no. Let me really listen intently here. And I found that when I do that, I was like, oh my goodness, that's me. And well, I'm not going to do that. Even have times where we'll be walking and Phil and Josh will be talking and I'm listening to what I'm getting. I'm listening to what they're saying and I'm getting stuff for me. I was like, wow, I didn't recognize that. And because honestly, those listening, that Yah cannot be mocked. Yah is not the problem. Yah is perfect. And that's something for anybody to look into. It's a good thing to, what does it mean for Yah to be who they are? What does it mean for to be a perfect being? Well, we're not going to be able to manipulate a perfect being. We're not going to be able to trick them and get the key cut our way. And I'll kind of take a little pick and I'll pick the lock of faith. No, the lock of faith cannot be picked. You've got to have the keys. And even in the end, it's very clear that get away from me. I never knew you. You didn't have the key. You didn't get away from sin. Get away from me. I don't know you. That we can learn so much by listening intently to what Yah is saying through others, concepts. So Sergio, I would challenge you in this is that continue to do, ask Yah for help, cry out for their help, but you do your part. And as you're looking, be looking for those moments when Andrea may say something or, and you're like, oh, and instead of putting it back on her, wait a minute. Well, I can't change her. I can only change myself. So Yah, how are you speaking to me? And this isn't saying, all right, you're going to be fixed tomorrow with brokenness. Like you'll figure out brokenness, but think of it like if Yah is bringing brokenness to your mind, then what are they saying? There's a break that's got to happen. And not only that break, but brokenness, meaning that you have that mindset of contrite, mm-hmm. which is having the brokenness, because think about it. Oh, I didn't recognize that. All right. You recognize the brokenness that gets you to repent, which if you've already repented, you've repented, but you're just walking in repentance of it. So the cycle just keeps going. So it's not that you walk around, oh, I'm just so broken. No, that's the old feeling sorry for yourself. But the brokenness is, wow, I didn't recognize that. I'm going to change that. Okay. It doesn't mean you're wallowing around and, oh, woe is me and crying. And y'all could look at us and say, you know what? Stop the crying. What we're looking for is we're looking for a change in conduct. Set your mind that you're going to change and walk in the change. You know, you don't need to wallow around because I've done, my fair share in the past of wallering around, and y'all will let you, and y'all will let you lay there, and they'll just say, "When are you going to get up out of the wallering in the mud? It's your fault. You're like they're not like, oh no, Sergio, let me get you out of this." They'll say, "When are you going to stop wallering around in that and get up and do something?" And when you do, then you can move forward. So, yeah, I was just thinking about that, because just for anybody listening, that with the key, here's a key. Godly sorrow produces repentance, which leads to salvation. So the key to finding salvation, one of the keys is godly sorrow, repentance. Then that will lead you to Messiah, because Messiah, his persona is Yeshua, is salvation, that you'll be brought to him. But then you don't stop there. You continue, and you brought it up that you get to the point where you shed your own blood in your fight against sin. You crucify yourself with Christ, and then you're raised from the dead, buried with Messiah in baptism, circumcision of the heart. Then the stone can be rolled away from your heart. The written code is put to death. And now you walk in the Spirit. And then at that point, you're walking in the fullness of repentance, obedience, and trust, which faith is trust. So if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, think about what Messiah said, that you have faith as small as a mustard seed. You'll say to this mountain, throw yourself into the sea, and it'll do it. And he's not saying that, oh, look at me, I can command the mountain to throw into the sea. What he's saying is, trust and obey, that faith in God, with God, God can throw that mountain into the sea, that all things are possible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. So even if you start on that journey and you have the little grain of sand, God, I'm going to trust you. Oh, well, now we have the conception of faith. But in order for faith to be full grown, circumcision of the heart, now you have full grown faith, as long as you don't fall away from it. Mm-hmm. So all of this, like, brokenness isn't just for you, for me as well, that make sure when you're evaluating, make sure that you have a break before you change something. Because if not, you'll go back to it again. Mm-hmm. So make sure you have that break. I'm going to change this. And then you'll see improvement in it because you have a true brokenness.
And in relation to that, I definitely just can relate the aspect of just having the, wow, yeah, I didn't see that. I cannot believe that I have been doing that all these years, and that it's all against you. And then I feel the emotion of it and then whatnot, but then I'm not doing that anymore towards you, Abba, towards you, to anybody. I turn from this because I'm not going to do this anymore. And this is the thing that we said in the gathering plenty of times, that the aspect of insanity and the aspect of doing things over and over and over and over again, expecting different results. Well, the doing over and over and over and expecting different results, if you don't make a break and change and make the mindset to change it, then you're going to live in that insanity and it's not going to change. But that's what came to mind just now, is that the aspect of you know that you broke. I know it's been spoken that once you break to something and it's you break into it, you'll know that you've made the change, because the change will stick. It won't go back. You won't go back to it.
Let me ask you this. Are you going to get a cast on your right arm tomorrow?
No.
Why?
Because my arm is not broken.
Well, yeah, but it'd be ridiculous that you go to the hospital and you go to the ER and you're like, Doc, I'm here to get a cast. And they say, well, what's wrong with your arm? I don't know. I'm here to get a cast. What, did you break your arm? No, I just want a cast. Well, there's no need to immobilize your arm. Well, sure it is, because I need a cast. Well, no, you're not. There's no broken bone. There's nothing to put a cast on. Other than that, it's just a waste of time. It's foolish for us to put a cast on your arm. It's going to make it worse because you can't use your arm in a functional way. Because when you break a bone, that, and I haven't had experience with having a broken bone. Actually, I do. I did break my toe, but it was like more of like a fracture, wasn't a complete break. But they put your arm in place so that it can go back in place so it'll heal properly. Well, there's nothing to heal if there's no broken arm. Like even if you fractured it, they may not do it. They may say, well, but you put it back in its proper position to get it to heal. So you break so that God put me in the right position. All right, so I'm going to change it. So now I'm going to set myself to be in the right position and now it'll heal. And it just made me think of just somebody's out swimming and they're just at the edge of the dock and they're just swimming and carrying on and you jump into the water and you grab them to bring them in to shore and you're like, what in the world are you doing? Well, you're drowning. I'm here to save you. I'm not drowning. Yeah, you are. And you try to pull the person in and they're fighting against you. No, I'm not drowning. Yes, you are. No, I'm not drowning. Leave me alone. But if the person is out there and they realize they're drowning, what do they do? Like, what would you do if you were drowning?
You would be, well, at least for me, I would be like flailing, like waving my arms and, you know, pretty much screaming for help.
Screaming for help. Well, I'm just going to wait here. And what happens if you just wait when you're drowning? I'm just going to wait for help.
You sink.
You start sinking, but no, you're doing your part. All right, well, grab my hand. Well, I just need help. Look up, look around you. And the life preserver is just over here on the corner. What? Just, I need help. Look around you. Oh, the life preserver. I didn't see it. Now go over and grab it. And it's hard. I don't think I can. Well, do you want to live or not? And you're flailing, like you said, and you grab it. It's just like faith. You grabbed onto it. And Yah says, okay, now the Coast Guard will lift you. But you're sitting there flailing and the Coast Guard has the little helicopter with the raft thing there. And you don't grab it. Grab the raft. Nope. I want you to save me. Grab the raft. I'm here to save you, but you've got to do your part. You've got to reach out and grab it and hold on. And then I'll do my part, but you got to hold on as I'm lifting you up and everything. So we do our part and God does theirs because God wants to see how bad do you mean what you're crying out for? Are you just, well, I have to do this or I'm desperate. Like we were talking mm-hmm. last night, me and Phil were walking and when was the last time you were really hungry or thirsty? And really think about that. I've not been hungry or thirsty for a long time, like in the physical. Mm-hmm. Just think about that. But would you be at a point if you were hungry and you would be like, anything helps? And somebody says, well, all I have is a pack of crackers and you grab it and you're just, you eat through the paper and you're just, I don't care. I'm just so, or no, I want a Pepsi and a hot dog. I don't want, well, then you're not really hungry. Mm-hmm. You have an appetite. Do you have something? Mm. But I just was thinking about that blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And I'll share this, Sergio. This came to mind. What's referred to as the Old Testament, that tells you everything that you need to do on your part. New Testament shows you what God is going to do on their part. And yes, mm-hmm. God does show what they do in the old. But it made me think of if you just had the Old Testament only, you have everything you need to trust and obey God. Because what did the people in the Old Testament, they didn't have the capability to have mother's circumcision of the heart. All they could do was circumcise their heart. They could have the physical circumcision of the flesh. They didn't have the capability to have sin taken out of their heart. But what did they do? Well, God, I don't have the ability to not sin, so I'll just continue to sin. No, they did everything they could do. And because they did their part, all they could do, even they didn't get the reward at that time, but they were living by trust and obey, mm-hmm. by faith in God. And then when the Son Messiah came, it says, okay, now his work comes. I'm showing you I'm the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Believe in me. I must do my work, because if I don't do my work, the helper can't come. Mother can't come to dwell within, to bring circumcision of the heart. So circumcision of the heart came then. Those that died in faith in the Old Testament have circumcision of the heart. Now they get to be what's called Abraham's side in paradise, just waiting for the final judgment and then the ultimate perfecting to be in the kingdom. But the Old Testament gives us what we need to have brokenness. Look at all the opportunities. Look where David, was David broken before God, or God, I'm just so sorry. I mean, he was on his face and just crying, please, you know, save the child. But what did he do? Well, the Lord took the child. It's my fault. Just get up, wash my face, move on. So we have everything that we need to find that brokenness, that contrition in the Old Testament. And yes, in the New Testament, just is referring back to the Old Testament, giving it spiritual explanation. But the scriptures of the Old Testament, everything is there. Everything that you need is there. You know, crying out to Abba, Abba's the same that he's been since the beginning. And until you fulfill what's needed to move forward, then you'll find it. Just keep looking for it, and just don't be satisfied with banging your head against the wall, because there are times where it gets worse. Because I'll tell you this, it'll get worse before it gets better. But then even when it gets better, you still keep going to the next step. Mm-hmm. And so it's not, the concept of faith in God is not difficult, but carrying it out is a challenge because of our programming, because of the cognitive dissonance. That's what keeps people. It's not an impossible thing, but the cognitive dissonance will get you unless you're thinking about it and you're staying on top of it, because brokenness is a part of the faith journey, but that's Yah giving you information on evaluate where you are so that you can use this to move forward. And I believe wholeheartedly in this, and just have experience in it, that if the help is there, but it's our programming that we miss things, that, because are we really going to sit here and say that Yah's not bringing the help? No, they are. And a lot of times the help is, well, Yah, I'm not getting anything. Oh, I'm just going to see, are you thinking you're not getting answers because you don't hear anything? Or, wait a minute, no, let me just keep looking and digging, because I know they'll make it clear. But their way of making it clear isn't just necessarily putting it right in front of your face. It's, we'll put it around you, but we're just going to see how bad are you going to look for it. And we're just going to see, are you going to really discern and look? Or are you just going to just wait for us to just hand it to you? And we're not going to do that. I mean, if it's something that you really need to see and you cry out, I mean, they can put it in front of you and say, Sergio, look into this. Okay. But what I'm seeing is a lot of it is they're waiting to see, what are you going to do with it? Are you really going to be diligent to look? Or are you just going to think, I'm just going to give it to you and just think that we're going to do all the work? Because they're not.
And I would say in those times where you're not getting anything, it's and you're not hearing anything, even though you ask, I've experienced that Yah will leave you silent, or they'll be silent just so that you will get into your own thoughts, and then your thoughts start to run to the point of you get down to a certain issue in your thoughts that, okay, wow, all right, and your thoughts are going that because even when you're in silence, there's really not a silence. There's you're thinking things in your mind. Those are you're to a certain degree having a conversation in your mind with yourself, with things that you have or things that you've done or things that you've experienced in your past or things that you experience in your day. That you go over those things because, speaking to myself, there would be things that came throughout the day that I would just meditate on. I was like, okay, so, and then just going through all those things allowed me to see an issue I had to where, oh, wow, I didn't see that. Okay, I might have missed that when I was going throughout my day. And then, okay, well, I'm seeing this right now. Yeah, so how is this an issue? Taking it to Abba and talking to Abba in regards to the said issue that came up in my mind because it happened at work. And it could be that, you know, I have frustration with my coworkers. You know, just an example that, and then yet again, seeing that, okay, so why is this an issue? Why did that frustrate me? Okay, well, that frustrated me because I feel like I'm doing all the work. They're not answering the phone. Why do I have to answer the phone all the time? All right, where does that stem from? Well, that stems that, oh, am I better than them? But I know, absolutely not. I'm not better than them at all. So what makes me think that I shouldn't answer the phone or that I have to answer the phone all the time? Well, that stems from my selfishness. It's me, my own self, my selfishness in regards to, and then the aspect of, so do you think you're better than your coworkers? I'm like, huh, no, by no means. And then thinking, you know, that gets me down to my own rabbit hole of, okay, that, yeah. Then the big one of, oh, so do you think you're better than my son, Yusha? And I'm like, wow, okay, that definitely was a blow. And I can see that. And that's why I'm having the frustration and that I'm no better than anybody by no means. And thank you for showing me that, because I can see that in my subconscious, that it's in my subconscious that I think that I'm better and I'm not. And that to the scripture that comes to mind is that where Paul says, I'm the worst of sinners, that I'm worse than anyone, that I am the chief of sinners, needless to say. And that, you know, I'm but, you know, dust and ash. But that's those things that just came to mind in regards to that.
Just speaking to you about this, just coming to mind is you don't lack head knowledge of the things of God. You have a lot of head knowledge. You can pick scripture out, scripture will come to mind, but the discovery of things, brokenness, is heart knowledge. And have you asked Yah to break you?
Yes.
Well, what they're wanting you to do is look for the break. Because if they break you, then, all right, well, I have nothing I have to do that. Okay, well, you ask for that. Be looking for it diligently. Because this just came to mind. Abba, help me to see what I'm not seeing. Help me to see. Have you thought about this? How many lessons have we had since you've been a part of the gathering?
Too many to count.
So how much help? Because a lot of times we think, well, it's, well, y'all show me because I'm not seeing it. Okay, well, think back to the lessons. Think back to the experiences and things like that. And let me really dig. And they will show you. And just what I'm thinking is that a lot of this, the things that Yah brings to us, like when they say, do you think you're better than our son? They could say that, Sergio, you know that you're not better than our son. And you'd be like, yes, Lord. But think what it does. Do you think that you're better? They know that you think you're better. Not that you're doing it consciously, but why would they bring it up? But what they want you to do is they want me to discover, to realize, yes, Lord. Yes, I've been thinking I'm better. And you know why I know that I've been doing that? Because of the way I'm treating other people. Because you think, no, I wouldn't think that I would ever be better. Why would I think that? Yeah, but they'll bring questions like that. And I just like, they'll say, have you been having conversation with your wife? No, Lord, I haven't. Okay, well, just bring it to your attention. Because think about it, as opposed to, you know, you haven't had conversations the way you're supposed to. Well, that's kind of an accusatory, but it gives you, what Yah does is they give you an opportunity to discover it. Well, Sergio, you're not realizing that by your behavior, you're acting as though you're better than him. You don't realize it. So I'm just going to bring this to you, but I want you to discover that to where I didn't tell you flat out, but, you know, Cain, where's your brother? I mean, we're really going to think that Yah has no idea where Abel was. But I'm going to test your heart. I'm going to see how you're going to respond to this, because that'll show me where your heart is. Sergio, do you think you're better than my son? No, Lord, I'm not. Okay. Yes, I am. Well, then you better brace yourself, because that's why you think you're entitled and all this stuff. And that's the thing that it's the things we don't see that get us. It's the dark psychology that you're not going to figure out brokenness in a week, a month, a year. But what Yah is saying is that, you know, Sergio, just want you to evaluate this, because what could be holding you back is you've got all this head knowledge, but it's time for you to discover and for you to have a break so that it can help you to move forward. But if we tell you what the break is, oh, wow, yeah, okay, well, I'll change that. Well, but why are you changing it? Well, because I have to. Wait a minute. No, let me discover. Because you could just be out in the yard and you're just doing something and you're like, oh my gosh. I never saw that. Well, how much better is that you get that than like, hey, Sergio, just want to let you know you're doing this. I'm not doing that. That you get the chance, and those listening as well, not just because me and just Sergio are together, but I've just been where you've been and I can just see, but I mean, I could tell you things, but if I just tell you, you're not going to be able to discover it, and that's not going to really help.
And I just remember, so we were living in, me and my family moved to Florida for a year. And I remember that in that time we ended up getting focus. And I remember that focus, because I remember specifically reading it and then scoffing at it, because I was like, I know I have that. I know I got that. I don't have to evaluate this. I don't understand. Yeah. Why even send this? Like, I don't understand. Like, I know I got this, but then I can, and the reason I, because I went through this and just went through my past reaction in my mind. I was like, I remember doing that. Wow. Because it had to do with resentment. That was an aspect of resentment that I had to deal with. Where Yah gave me something. Abba gave me something. And I scoffed it. And then I resented him for it. And I was like, wow. Didn't see that. But the aspect of when Yah gives you something to, all right, here, I want you to have, and look at this focus, because you should look into that, discover that. And I remember the focus was, do you have circumcision of the heart? And I was just like, yeah, but I still do these things. In my own mind, I went back in my own mind, and I was like, but I'm still doing this, and I'm doing this. But what did I do? I had a episode of the cognitive dissonance. I didn't want to recognize it. Even though I could see it as clearly, well, I'm still doing this, but not evaluating my own mind or in my own going through my mind of having that conversation with myself of these things that I was still doing that were sin. And yet again, just coming to realization of, wow, okay, I don't have this. I don't know. And that was years back to where I don't have that. I don't have circumcision of the heart. What? Why? Okay. And then just, yet again, I have a lot of head knowledge just because, you know, when I first started, just before I even came to the gathering, you know, I was in jail. I was locked, you know, I wasn't locked up, and I had time. I had time to search the scriptures. I had time to read, you know, the, and to the point I was, you know, having that fervor of, you know, getting to understand what, you know, the gospel was. And of course I thought that I knew, I thought that I had, things that I thought I had, but all I did was gain head knowledge. Even to, you know, a few years back to where I was just like, and yet again, about a year back to where I was just like, I have to just put everything that I know, everything that I think I know on a shelf and just leave it and just trust that Yah will give me as I'm trusting them to reveal things to me, and as I'm walking this faith, that Y'all will make things clear to me. That, whether it's through a lesson or through just a conversational relationship with them, or through someone through the gathering or whatnot. That, but just having that realization that I had to just. All that scripture knowledge and head knowledge, or even the lessons have come out throughout the, you know, the last decade that we've gotten in the gathering. I just had to put it away for now and focus on Abba and focus on the Old Testament and things that were in the Old Testament and everything that pertains to the gospel message that's in the Old Testament. But just seeing that and realizing, coming to a realization of that has yet again helped me tremendously in regards to, just walking faith and just trusting that Yah gives you what you need when you need it.
And actually, I just got some revelation from Yah on when we make a statement that Yah will make things clear. Got a different picture of that. Let's say you have a pot of black coffee. And I have, let's say, a huge pitcher of clear water. All right. I start pouring the clear water into the black coffee. How do I make that black coffee clear?
Keep adding water.
You pour the water in the truth, and it made me think of, like, what we're expecting to do is God to sit there and pour the water in, and so you'll make it clear, or you just turn the black coffee to the pure water. And what came to mind was is that it's two-sided. Yah, make things clear as I diligently seek after you and look into your word and have conversation with you, because it's faith, because I'm going to take this word of God and pour it in and evaluate it. And the more that I pour this in, it will be made clear. But a lot of times, because we lean on our own understanding that Yah will just clear it for me. Yah, purify this coffee, turn it clear. And I'm not going to do anything. And it just made me think of faith involves both sides. The way you draw near to God is the way that they will draw near to you. Well, God, make it clear. Okay. Well, Sergio, you do what's necessary to so that I can make it clear to you. If you're not going to listen to me and you're going to reject it, then how can I make it clear to you if you do or do not have circumcision of the heart? Well, if you've already said that you have it, and I don't need to evaluate this question, how can I make bring clarity on this to you when you're not wanting to pay attention to it? And Yah didn't say, Sergio, you don't have circumcision of the heart. They just said, do you have it? And you could have said, yes, Lord, I do, because of this, this, and this. Okay. Well, we're just bringing it to you just so you can evaluate, but you took it just like Josh took it. Oh, so you're saying I don't have it. But they didn't say you didn't have it. They said, do you have it? Well, but why is that a question that you couldn't ask? Well, all you have to do is answer yes or no. But, and because I even took it, I've taken things like that. Well, that means that I've done something. No, you're looking way too far. Just answer the question. Don't add to it, kind of thing. Or, and just may, and obviously for learning, because you're not where you were then. But looking back now, I was just like, wow, even for me, if I'm waiting for God to do something, I shouldn't be just sitting here waiting for God. Yes, you wait on God, meaning you're patient, you anticipate that they're doing their work. But if you just say that you're waiting on somebody, then that most people look at that as, well, I don't do anything. I don't have to do anything. I'm just waiting. Well, no, while you wait on the Lord, mount up on wings of eagles, and Yah will support you and strengthen you and encourage you and be strong and very courageous. Because being courageous doesn't mean that Yah does everything. Be strong and very courageous, because I'm with you wherever you go. So walk in my ways. I'm with you. You know, Sergio, we're here. So diligently seek us and we'll make things clear, but don't expect us to tell you everything. Don't expect us to fix everything. Because think about this. Brokenness. If my people will humble themselves, and then that would lead to better conversation, because you're not holding resentment towards God. And through that, you seek their face continually through conversation, and you continue to turn from your wicked ways. Then the healing will come. But it has to go in that order, because think about it. If my people who are called by my name will pray, no. There's a reason God said it in that order. Realize that we're perfect and you're not, and that should humble you, that I'm standing before a perfect being. What could I say or do to them for them? What could I do for them other than what they would want? Faith. Well, God, I'll do these things. No, that's not what I want. I want you to have faith. I want you to trust me, realizing that I'm a perfect being. I know what I'm doing, and that you're willing to cooperate with me and be okay with it. And I know that you can't be perfect. That's why my son's going to come. We know that you can't get rid of sin in your life. You can do your part to fight it in your mind. But my son's going to come. I'm making the way. You can't have circumcision in the heart unless my spirit does it. And even then, that it's still trust and obey. So no matter what the topic, quote unquote, would be, the topic is truth. The topic is faith. The topic is brokenness. The topic is the keys, the top, it doesn't matter what we talk about. If it's the truth of God, the topic is truth. So this is just an opportunity just to, I'm just seeing this is helping me. I'm sure it's helping you, because you're getting to be told things. I've been told things like this before by Yah, by Phil, by others. And faith. People talk about faith all the time, you know, you have faith in this or faith in that. Everybody has faith. Faith is a constant. Faith in God is a different thing, because people will trust in other people, other things. But when you really look at the Word of God, the Old Testament, that it says that's what the ancients were commended for was faith. That they trusted God. They didn't know all the things that were going to happen. They didn't know the things that were going to be going on now, but they trusted God. And they were willing to step out on faith and trust God. And that's pleasing to God, because if you don't have faith, you're not seeking faith, you can't be pleasing to God. And that should be the ultimate goal, that we want to be pleasing to God, not to, and as we are pleasing to God, then we will be pleasing to those that are seeking after God and have the faith in God. But there's just so many things in everyday life that show faith, like the key, brokenness. You know, you break something, well, it's got to be repaired. Well, but most of the time you don't get something repaired unless it's broken. Mm-hmm. You know, you break your refrigerator breaks. Well, you either repair it or replace it. Well, ultimately, we need to have our whole body replaced because of sin. So we'll get a new body. And right now, those in Messiah, that you have the body of Messiah, which ultimately will be given a perfect body. But there's just so many things and just so many avenues that Yah can bring their truth just in everyday things, especially the creation itself.
And the biggest thing that just tying in with that is that the aspect of really, really grasping the concept of that every time we gather, that whatever lesson comes out, then go out and that's your lesson in the classroom. And then we've talked about this before. This is a lesson in the classroom. Mm-hmm. But when we go out into our to the next day work day work of a day of work or throughout the rest of the week, when we're not gathering, then look for it. See where you can apply the lesson and apply it. But that's it's the concept of this is the lesson. Now the work begins of applying it in your everyday life. But for me, that would be the biggest help that's definitely helped me in the last few months, is that anything that comes out in the gathering, that, all right, I'm looking for it the next day or the day after that, that I'm looking to see where it comes up and from what was talked about in the lesson, apply and work through it. But that, I just wanted to tie that into it because that just definitely has just been a, you know, again, help for me in regards to with the different things that have come out.
And I was just going to ask you, I was say, are you seeing what help Yah just gave you, that, yeah, look at this as a lesson, and then how can I carry that out in the work, and as opposed to, well, I'm just waiting for the help, and then when I get it, then, well, we don't realize that the help has been given. It's just the application. Okay, now, okay, so Yah brought out about heart knowledge. So where can I look for brokenness in my everyday work? Or am I carrying around humility? Am I having a broken and contrite heart around others? Am I holding resentment towards others? And if I'm holding resentment, can I have brokenness towards that person if there's resentment? No. That for me to break to God, there's got to be a laying down of the resentment. And there's got to be a break to that, to where, but it's not, there's got to be a break to there. It's got to be a break to that. Oh my gosh, that just broke me. I cannot believe that I have not been seeing that. That's going to change. It's like where the light meets the dark. That, how does it get from here to here? That, where's the, not that there's not a concept in the mind of brokenness in the mind, but how do I get that into the spirit, to break in the heart? But, and that's the thing, if you truly ask God to break you, they will, but be looking for the circumstance, the thought, and it's not that they're not going to break you, but they're just waiting for you. Like, for example, like looking in this room, let's say that the break is right behind that door, mm-hmm. and you're like, what is it? That's it. Well, but you, because you didn't see it yet. Like, you're looking everywhere, but look over here. Well, no, look over there. Well, I'm not seeing it. Because you've had that, you're looking for something and like, where is the lead or where's the issue? And then that's it. Because I'm not, a break doesn't have to be you're crying for 5 minutes straight and you're just in tears and you're inconsolable. It just could be a recognition and just like a within of just like your heart just goes to your stomach and you're like, oh my gosh. I did not realize I'm not doing that again. So it isn't like that you have to have this big emotional thing to have a break. Because there's like people, I remember a guy, that one of my friends in middle school, he had fallen off the bleachers and broke his arm. And he was like, you know, I just feel funny. And people were like, oh my gosh, look at your arm. And you look over and the arm was kind of wavy looking. And once he looked at it, that's kind of like when the pain kicked in to where I need some help. But it was just like, man, my arm just feels funny. And then people are like, what's wrong with your arm? And when it clicked, oh my gosh, I need to go to the hospital. I don't know if you've had that. Like when I've had an injury, like you don't really feel it until you realize, oh my gosh, I need to go to the emergency room. Then everything kicks in to where, and that's the thing that you don't realize. Cause if you're not looking for it and you don't see it, it's not going to affect you, but it's just the aspect of be looking. Because seeking God, seek for me and you'll find me when you seek with all your heart, which means you set your mind that with everything you're going to go after and never stop. Well, you still got to deal with your programming and things are going to happen. But yeah, are you applying the lesson that you're getting? Because we get a lot of lessons, but we don't apply them. What does it benefit anything?
Does it?
I remember when I got trumpet lessons and just even thinking back on it, that so much of it was just given for me to apply. But if I didn't apply it, then the teacher's not going to make me learn it. It's up to me.
Yep. And I remember, because I was in choir band throughout, you know, elementary all the way through high school. And yet again, the aspect of don't practice your music through the song. You're not going to know where you're going to go in, like as in when you're supposed to come in, when you're supposed to fade out, when you're supposed to come back in the song. So, and just in itself, know your parts, because, there was a big concert we had and we could not get the song right with everyone having their parts. And to the point where the director was like, we either get this right or we're not going to be able to go in. Like, you know, we're not going to be able to do this concert. And, and I still remember the song because it's one of my favorite songs. It's called Danny Boy. And for some reason we could not sync. And then, we finally, yet again, throughout practice, throughout the day, cause when you go on, when you go on a concert, it's an all-day endeavor for the school. And then I just remember that we finally got it. And that night when we did it for the concert, it flowed perfectly. So,
well, Sergio, I would say that we've covered quite a bit of information and knowledge and wisdom from God. So I think this is a good pausing point for us. Is there anything further that you have or wanted to speak about or anything like that?
Just from here, just go out and apply the lessons.
I would agree wholeheartedly with that. And Sergio, as we're just sitting here, what I'm getting and applying, just even thinking about this, is that this podcast that we have, that Yah's enabling us to do, is just another church gathering. It's an extension of us. If we were sitting at Josh's house, or if we were here when you and Josh and Edward are meeting for prayer and stuff like that, you know, conversation time, that I'm just seeing that so much is attempting to figure out what the topic, quote unquote, is. And we hit on what Yah gave you as a topic, but then it doesn't matter what the name of it is. the important thing is just to trust Yah and to let them do what they want to do and lead us where they want us to go and bring out what they want us to bring out. And because if we were just to say like brokenness, and like, for example, if we were doing this as a worldly thing, well, we're talking about brokenness. Well, we've already covered that in 10 minutes. So we're done. You know, brokenness is just like, we'll just put choir to it. You ever have the little warm-ups that you do with choir and stuff like that? Well, brokenness is one of those. We're just going to play a little bit of brokenness here. All right. And then we're going to move on a little bit to the Old and New Testament. Then we're going to play a little on giving you some counsel as we're sitting here and me getting counsel for myself as I'm speaking. So we're just going to play all kinds of things on the piano, and we'll have a title to it at some point. But don't focus on the title so much to where your mind is just stuck on, well, we got to stay on this. Just, no, this is just one of the pieces of music that Yah's going to have us play, and we're going to do the best that we can. And we'll close with this. I had a conductor when I was in college, and we had a moment. We were in chamber orchestra, and they had the oboe section that was playing something. And this was one of those kind of guys that you didn't really ever see him get real mad, just kind of real even keel. And I remember we were getting to play, and the oboes, I kept messing up something. He reached over and he was like, "Oboes, this better be figured out, because if not, then we're going to have an issue." And like, he just said it one time, and it was like, oh my gosh, he never says that. And what do you know? We come back around, no problem. But it was just one of those where you're in college and you don't know these things. Kind of like with Nicodemus and Yeshua, that you're a teacher in Israel and you don't, not like you're dumb or anything, but you don't realize that we need to have this correct or we're not going to perform. So do you really, are you applying the lesson? You know, what are you doing here? But because I did some singing when I was younger. I did band more than the choir, but choir, I mean, the instrument is your voice. And if you're bass or tenor, soprano, alto, whatever, but yeah, that's, and see, if you agree, I think that the title that we publish is, Are You Applying the Lesson? I think that's a good title for this that goes along with the last thing that you said. Are you applying your lesson? Mm-hmm. Which goes along with what God gave you anyway. So,
yep.
Well, Sergio, it was good being with you. I think we'll be on the podcast coming up maybe in a few weeks. I can't remember the exact date, but it's going to be cool. But all the people that listen in live, glad to have you. And I actually noticed something today that on the Hidden Treasures Revealed Facebook, it gave a note that said that it had so many more views, 6 more or 7 more views than before. Doesn't matter the number of views. The fact that people are looking up is great. Just praise Yah for that. And we do have an email, hiddentreasuresrevealed@AOL.com, the Facebook page, Hidden Treasures Revealed. And we'll put things on there occasionally. We put the podcast on there as well. So appreciate, glory be to God for this. For those listening in, and that will be in the future. So, Sergio, we'll close out for the night.
Sounds good.
And when you go to work tomorrow, or when you go home, even when we have, because we'll have some conversation time with Yah after this, that apply the lessons that Yah gives, because their lessons are perfect. So, me and Sergio will sign up for now. And until the next podcast, Lord willing, everybody have a good evening.
Have a good evening.
Thank you for joining us today on Hidden Treasures Revealed. We want to leave you with this thought. The greatest treasure in life, and especially in faith, is discovery. If we try to convince you of things, you may gain head knowledge, but if we let you discover things, you will have heart knowledge to know and understand and be able to give a good answer for the faith that you have. Treasure hunters seek treasure nonstop. Seek the treasure of God through conversation with them and through their word. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Seek the hidden treasure of God, and you will be blessed by it.